Psalm 42. That is our text for this morning. Psalm 42, for the choir director, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why have you become in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, give us understanding, but more, speak to us to the depth of our heart. We have read about the depths of your ways, even as it were, waves, water, oceans overwhelming us, but we have sung of the deep, deep love of Jesus. Come and grant us a deep understanding, and with that a power, a deep ability to hear, a deep ability to see. Come to us, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. When I find myself in times of trouble, Psalm 42 comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. We have come to Psalm 42, and I don't know what you're going through. I'm a guest. The congregation has grown over the years wonderfully. But being a pastor for 40 years or so, I tend to lose count at 69, going on 70. Was it last month, last year, 10 years? As a pastor for such a long time, I know a congregation like this, you're bearing burdens to one degree or another, in one season or another. You are walking through a veil of tears for many of you, and if not, you remember a time when you walked through a veil of tears. Some of you may feel heavy. Some of you may be in despair. Some of you might be depressed. Some of you might be facing challenges that you think are overwhelming. I don't know you as a congregation, but I can imagine that the majority, if not all of you, are facing some trial, some adversity, something that weighs heavy upon your heart. And this psalm is for you. It witnesses to the child of God. it witnesses that as children of God, we have various burdens, we have various issues of despair, possibly depression. This psalm witnesses that as children of God, there are oftentimes we walk through a veil of tears, if not through the valley of the shadow of death. Someone has written that this is one of the most sadly beautiful psalms in all of the Psalter, and I agree. Another writer says that this psalm does not address us, but it rather touches and kindles us. And so this morning, I see in your bulletin you have this outline, the main points, and I kind of shudder to think that, you know, I'm going to give you all the main points up front because you might turn me off and shut me down and say, this is going to be too long, too tedious. No, what we're going to do this morning, again, it won't be an address. It'll be amusing. I will invite you, because I come to this psalm again and again, when I find myself in times of trouble, Psalm 42 comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And so I invite you this morning to come with me, and we will muse through this psalm. There are points, and I'll point those out, and you can write those in the bulletin if you'd like. But what I want you to do is think with me, and not only think with me, feel, remember. Feel and remember. Be touched. Be kindled as we work our way through this psalm. And again, it does witness to times of trial and trouble, sorrow and grief, times of pain and suffering that the child of God goes through. And there's no shame. And at the end of the day, there is no fear. That this is part of the human condition, as we will see. But more than that, this remains part of the condition of the children of God, in which we do not separate ourselves from the world in pain and sorrow, but we have an understanding, we have a meaning. Our pain and sorrow are not in vain. It's not futile. We have the key. We have the understanding to open a world in which pain and sorrow, the various burdens and griefs that we bear, have very profound meaning that the world does not understand. This psalm witnesses to that kind of depth. So come with me. Come with me. A few initial observations. My translation, I imagine all your translations, you have at the very, very beginning of Psalm 42, just above Psalm 42, Book 2. Do you know how many books there are in the Psalter, in the Book of Psalms? How many books? How many? Nope. No. Increase. There's five. Five books. So some believe it kind of corresponds with the Pentateuch, five books of Moses. But five books. There's one Old Testament scholar who's also a pastor, O. Palmer Robertson, who's written a book on the Psalms, and he believes each book has a theme. Book one is the theme of confrontation, where the church confronts the world. Book two, where Psalm 42 begins, book two is communication. Communication with the world. Confrontation, communication. Book three is devastation with the Babylonian captivity. And other psalms in which the covenant people are working through that time of trial, devastation. Book four is maturation. Book five is consummation. But book two is communication to the world. And you'll see this in the psalm. The title for Lord, Yahweh, is used just once right in the middle. And I don't want to get in the weeds of all of this. Psalm 43 is probably connected to Psalm 42. And if you take that into consideration, verse 8 is right in the middle, and that's where Yahweh, the name Yahweh, is used. But you see throughout the psalm, it's God. It's a more universal name, the more ancient name, Elohim. The name of God is used. It's a more universal way of addressing even the world. And the point here is this, that all of the world, the human condition, is a condition very often of suffering, of pain, of grief, of burdens, of despair, of depression, hopelessness. All the world, even the church. The difference is that you know the meaning of it. It's not in vain, it's not futile, it's not meant to crush, it's not meant ultimately to punish, it's meant really to transform in power. And you know that, which the world does not. And of course it does open doors of communication to the world. So book two is communication, and that's communication to the greater world. And that is what we are called to be. You also read that it's a maskil for the sons of Korah. And you ask, well, what's a maskil? I think in the Hebrew, it's a participle. It could mean understanding. And yet, this is not really a wisdom psalm. It's a lamentation, really. Maskil, understanding, perception. The Greek translation translates it in this term. It's a term that we might use, confluence. It's a term that images two streams coming together to form one stream, a maskil. Two streams, again, and in this psalm, water imagery is all over the place, even in phrases and verses that you wouldn't expect it. Water imagery is everywhere. And it's like, as the Greek translators translated this as a maskil, two streams coming together in order to give wisdom, to give understanding, to give perception. What are those two streams? Those two streams can very much be despair and hope. Despair and hope coming together in order to transform the child of God into a deeper awareness of who God is, of who we are, a deeper awareness of our salvation in Jesus Christ. So, a maskil. Two streams. Forming one in which the child of God not only reflects upon the depths, but a deep, deep work is done, a deep work. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Okay, so let's consider the psalm this morning. And again, it's about, we'll just muse through it if you don't mind. You kind of join me. And you can see that at the very, very beginning, that the tone of the psalm is a soul that is in distress, crying out for God, and yet exhorting his own heart. There's very much a disorientation here. As a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, my soul thirsts for God. When shall I come and appear before God? There seems to be a separation from God. My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. This is water imagery. I used to go along with the throng, and in the Hebrew, it's almost like a stream of throng leading in procession to the house of God, the voice of joy and thanksgiving. All of that is gone. It's as though he's in exile. It's not the big exile. But he's in exile, and he's looking over his shoulder, and he sees where his community is and where the very representation of God's presence is, and he's on his way out. He's looking over his shoulder, and he's cut off. He's estranged. There is an isolation. There is a tone in which the rug has been pulled out from under him, and he's trying, in tears and in tremendous grief, trying to process that estrangement, that isolation that's being cut off, that disorientation. And so I have to ask, do you know what that feels like? We're not one of the sons of Korah, but we are the children of God, and there are those occasions where it seems as though God has pulled the rug out from under us. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt isolated? Have you ever felt estranged in relationships, even in relation to God? Something happened at work, perhaps you're fired. Unjustly, maybe. Marriage is not going so well. Maybe children in revolt. Finances are very, very tight. Maybe chronic pain. Maybe further than that, you get a diagnosis that is dreadful. Maybe death within the family. Maybe you're feeling your own mortality. Whatever it is, maybe a tornado comes through and takes off the roof of your house. Whatever it might be, there are those occasions and circumstances where we may feel disoriented. What is God doing? We look over our shoulder and we remember far better times. We look over our shoulder and we remember the various promises that God has given to us. We look over our shoulder and we remember former days in the church in which things were far better, we believe, and somehow we've been cut off. Somehow we feel isolated. Somehow there's a confusion, a disorientation. Brothers and sisters, have you ever felt that way? I have to say, this is universal. But for the child of God, there will be meaning to it. Out of his routine, out of his comfort zone, rug pulled out from under him. Have you ever felt that? There's not only this disorientation, there's a longing. You want the points in your bulletin. Disorientation, next, longing. This disorientation triggers a longing. As a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Have you ever really felt that? Not only thought that. Catechism is great. Doctrine is great. And really important. But also the affections of the child of God. And sometimes those affections run deep and dark. The disorientation is now triggering this longing for these things I remember and I pour out my soul. I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with a voice of joy, thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. And all that is gone. It's all dark now. It's all in the past. And I long for it. I remember it. And even that memory kind of gnaws at me because I remember better days, and I compare it to the present. And those past days are so sweet. And these present days can be so bitter. Have you ever felt that? Where there are feelings that are triggered in which you long for God to answer, you long for God to help, you long possibly even to see God, and you long for those days of communion and fellowship when things were sweet and good. But that's all in the past. You're looking over your shoulder. It's all, I'm in exile. I'm on my way out. Have you ever felt that? Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit has given us this psalm. This psalm has been chanted, meditated on, preached, sung for millennia. For millennia. It's part of the canon, and it's part of the worship of God's people. And it witnesses to us, the Holy Spirit this morning is witnessing to you, that this is part of our experience. This is part of your experience. As a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you. It's a wonderful imagery. It's difficult, but wonderful. It It is assuming that it is a time of drought, and in the Middle East, there were many seasons of drought. Talk about climate change. Oh, even back then. A time of drought in which animals could die. If you go a year, 2 years, 3 years, and everything dries up, it kills life. And what the psalmist is using as a metaphor is, I'm like that deer, I'm like that antelope out in the desert, and there is no water, and I pant for the water of life. And as a deer in times of drought longs for water, tongue sticking out, dry mouth, panting for just a drink, just a trickle, so my soul longs for God. Have you ever felt that? That you're in such, between a rock and a hard place in the desert, kind of dying of thirst, and it triggers that desire for God, that longing for God? The assumption, of course, is only God can satisfy a deep thirst like that, brothers and sisters. The world doesn't know that. They'll go on panting in the desert until death itself overtakes them, consumes them. But you know the secret. You could also see that there are adversities, adversaries, great adversity through adversity. Look at the various adversaries. Look at verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Now, who's the they? Are you tracking with me? Do you have the text? Are you following me? I know it's Sunday morning, it's early. Are you following this? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? There's this taunting. Who's doing the taunting? What is the, I'll use a grammatical term, what is the antecedent here? What is the antecedent? I could do all the work this morning. Somebody? Anybody? What's the antecedent? Okay. It's the tears. My tears have been my food day and night, while they, what is it? My tears. My tears say to me all day long. I know this is going to be repeated later. There are other adversaries, to be sure. But what he's saying, his own emotions, is though his emotions are taunting him and mocking him. My tears have been my food day long, while they say to me, it's like my own emotions turn back to me. And there's a lot of self-reflection, a lot of reciprocity in this psalm when he says, why are you in despair, O my soul? But now it's turned the other way. My tears have been my food, and my tears are mocking and taunting me. My own deep grief is saying to me, well, where is your God? Have you ever had that? Have you ever been really kind of your own adversary, your own emotions, your own deep grief, your own suffering, your own questioning? Have you ever had that? Have you ever felt that way? It's like, what is God doing? This is, where are the promises? Where is that good life? Where is it following Jesus? Billboards in Ohio, maybe you have them here in Michigan as well, and I won't talk about all the billboards in Michigan. In Ohio, you're driving down the highways and there's, you know, are you in despair? Do you have deep grief? It's as though trust in Jesus, he'll take care of it all. And in some deep way, he does. But there's no simple formula for deep grief. And in fact, this psalm witnesses that at times it's our own emotions that turn against us, that might taunt us. It's like, why should I be sobbing? Why should I wet my pillow at night over the grief? Where is God? And it's as though that wet pillow, my tears, are taunting me. Well, where is your God? Where is that help? Where is that comfort? Have you ever felt that? Yeah, it gets even a little bit more, difficult. It's as though God himself becomes an adversary. Look at verse 9. Well, back up. Verse 7. Here he is as an antelope dying of thirst. And then verse 7. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. It's as though God is overwhelming me. I am dying of thirst, and yet his waves are rolling over me, drowning me, overwhelming me. Verse 9, I say to God, my rock, God, why have you forgotten me? Have you ever felt that? While I go on mourning over the oppression of my enemy, there are times where it seems as though God is our adversary. I could skip ahead and look at the cross. And Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's like, God, why have you forgotten me? I am your son, and yet we know the pain and the agony on the cross. This is the trajectory of this psalm. It is going to take us to the depth of the cross. And it's Jesus himself, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes God might appear as our adversary. But you're going to know the key. There are those in the world who say, God is punishing me. I hate God because of what he's done. He's taken away a loved one. He's taken away my job. He's taken away my future. I hate God. That's the world. Brothers and sisters, you have the key to understand suffering and pain, deep grief and sorrow. You have the key. But you go through it. You go through that valley of the shadow of death. You go through the veil of tears. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. We're going to know something of the pain and suffering. It's universal to be sure, but there's something different, uniquely different about our sorrow and pain as the people of God. And of course, there are those other adversaries as well. As the shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? There's this chorus, if my own emotions are taunting and mocking me, if God seems very far away and has forgotten me, and now we have adversaries, those around us who attack us and then mock us. We live in a society that's doing that very thing, my friends. We live in a civilization that has left that station a long time ago as a Christian consensus. And as really a generation, as a civilization, there's almost the taunting. But for us individually, have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced somebody who's turned against you? Sometimes in a surprising way, betrayed you? Mocking, taunting, criticizing, judging? Have you ever had that? Good congregation, have you ever had that? Oh, there's more. So you have disorientation, you have that trigger, a deep longing, you have adversaries at every hand, without, even above adversaries. You think very, very much alone. And emotional distress, look at, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? In the Hebrew, despair is being in a pit. That's the imagery. You're in a pit and you can't climb out. It's a slimy pit. It's deep. It's dark. there are creepy, crawly things where you're kind of standing and you're trying to crawl out of it and you keep slipping back in because it's so slimy and dark. You have to look inside a cistern, perhaps in Africa somewhere, and see how a pit can be very slimy and dark and creepy, crawly things are there. This is the language that's used. I'm in a pit and I can't get out. And every time I try, it's as though I slide back in. I just read a testimony of a psychiatrist yesterday. Testimony. Christian. Who during times of COVID was very much in a pit like this. And the refrain was, I just couldn't get out. I couldn't get out of this depression. I couldn't get out. And here, he's a mental health professional. I couldn't get out. You ever felt that? The transformative thing is there's no shame in that. There might be clinical depression here, or there might be those seasons of depression, which many of us go through every time winter comes around. And even when I've visited Kalamazoo in January and walked the dark streets when it's snowing out, you know, there's that seasonal stuff. Have you ever felt that? You're in a pit. Why have you become disturbed within me? That's a different image. It's an image of a storm on the ocean in which there are waves 20, 30 feet overwhelming me. I just can't get myself oriented. I can't get myself, and I'm drowning. I can't control my circumstances. I can't control my environment. I am being overwhelmed. I'm in despair, and my soul is disturbed within me. Again, this psalm is witnessing, the Spirit is witnessing, that this is an experience of a child of God. This is the experience of many of us, if not all of us. At one point or another in our lives, to one degree or another, have you felt that? Okay, I'll hustle along here. Disorientation, longing, adversaries, emotional distress. There are the tensions. Look at the tensions. He's dying of thirst, and yet water is rolling over him. He calls God his rock. He calls God, I will, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. His song will be in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. But then the next verse, why have you forgotten me? Look at the tensions that are here, the paradoxes. I know that God loves me. I sing his praise, and he will give me that strength and that assurance and that comfort to sing his praise. And yet, at times, he seems to have forsaken me, forgotten me. I'm dying of thirst, and yet his water is overwhelming me. His waves are overwhelming me. You see the tensions that are here? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever known the paradoxes of life? It's almost schizophrenic. It's like there are times where we're very close to God, and then the next day he seems so very far away. There are times of blessing, and we turn around, we go around the corner. It's a time of cursing, it seems. Have you ever known those paradoxes? Look, do you follow the Lord? Are you alive? Are you a child of God? Do you reflect? Is there self-awareness here? This psalm is witnessing that this is the experience of the child of God. As hard and as dark as it is. Last, there are all the questions. Look at all the questions that he raises. I don't know how many questions there are. My soul thirsts for God. Verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? Verse 3, where is your God? Verse 5, why are you in despair, my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Oh, let's go down to verse 9. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression? Verse 10, while they say to me, where is your God? Verse 11, why are you in despair? Why have you become disturbed within me? How many questions come up in this psalm? psalmist raising question, the child of God is raising question in a time of despair, in a time of hopelessness, in a time where there's emotional distress, in a time of grief, in a time of pain, a time of sorrow, and he's asking questions. This psalm calls the child of witnesses to the child of God that this is often our experience. Now why? What is the secret? What is the key? Quickly. There's a deep assurance. If this is canonical, if this psalm testifies that this is the condition of a child of God, then if you're experiencing any of this, you don't have to be in despair. You're not alone. You're not alone. Even the Holy Spirit witnesses. Romans 8, all creation groans, we ourselves groan, the Spirit groans within us. It's as though the Spirit, in interceding for us within us, goes along, as it were, is grieved by the very things that we are being grieved by. You're not alone. The Spirit is with you, groaning within you. And this psalm witnesses that this is what the children of God face at times, in various degrees, in various seasons, that we have times of despair, distress, sorrow, pain. At least you could be assured of this, brothers and sisters, you, if you're hearing me, and if there's any self-awareness, you're not alone. Even the Scripture comes alongside of you. And the Holy Spirit says, I know what you're going through. And for millennia, children of God, who are willing to confess these things, come alongside of you. Millennia, can you hear their, for generations, come alongside of you even this morning and say, we know what you're going through. We know what you're going through. You're not alone. Deep assurance. There is a deep work. Why? Again, you've got the key. Your sorrow is not in vain. It's not futile. God does a deep work. C.S. Lewis, he whispers in our joys and he shouts in our pain. It's like, Aslan grows as the children grow, but even larger, exponentially. Is this lion safe? No, he's not safe, but he's good. And he's good to do a work within you that you cannot do in and of yourself. And I'm not on a soapbox against therapy, counseling, whatever, medication. I'm not against any of that. That might be good things that are helpful. But to change a life, to change a soul, to change a heart, to deeply change the psyche and the mind, a deep work has to be done that's transcendent, that's divine, that only God can do within your life. And he uses this despair, he uses this longing, he uses this disorientation. He pulls the rug out from under you so that you don't find comfort in the rug, but you find comfort in him. He pulls the rug out from under you in order that you might cast yourself into his arms. God is doing a deep work. There's deep assurance. You belong to a community who knows pain and suffering. You belong to a God who loves you so much that he will have you bear the cross. There's a deep empathy. The world is hurting. You know every human being, if you get under the surface, get under the skin, every human being is hurting. You, as the children of God, have the key, the secret. You can empathize with any weakness, with any distress, with any toil and trouble. You could walk with somebody through the veil of tears. You could walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you could point to the shepherd. And you could come alongside and say, brother, sister, I know how you're feeling because I've experienced something similar. So deep assurance, deep work of God, deep empathy with others, and I have to say a deep fellowship and communion with your God. One of the seven words on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But what else? John 19, just before Jesus dies, what does he say? Do you remember? I thirst. I thirst. As a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. Jesus says on the cross, I thirst. Of course, everybody's hustling around. They give him like sour wine or whatever. Okay, he may have been literally thirsty, but there's a deeper, profound thirst that he's uttering upon the cross. He has entered into your thirst. He's entered into your distress. He has entered into your despair. He's entered into your isolation. Jesus, as the incarnate Son of God, has entered into all of your experience. All of your experience. He knows to the depth, deeper than we could ever reflect upon in our own lives. He knows your pain. He knows your sorrow. He knows your thirst. He knows your isolation. He knows your loneliness. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. He knows you. Brothers and sisters, come. Come to Jesus. Recognize who he is, that he's come into your life, and there is a transformation that's taking place, not easy, sometimes in the darkness, sometimes when it really hurts, but he's changing all of us, conforming us into the image of his Son, as his Son was really in our image as a human being in his incarnation and all the pain that he suffered. For you, come, come, and drink deeply of his love. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are grateful for your goodness. We are thankful for your love. We're thankful for the witness of your scripture, of this text, of this psalm. And we pray as the people of God that we might encourage one another in all of our pain as we walk through the veil of tears, even through the valley of the shadow of death, and to know our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Jesus, speak to us. Show us, speak to us, remind us, assure us, empower us to continue to look to you. And in you, may we find that deep comfort that we so long for, to know the living God. We ask in your name. Amen.